Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard. It's
Steve Aoki.
Here's Salt Lamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
And now, the artist still known as Bradfoe, with the radio version of his daily Odyssey podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring.
Baseball isn't boring.
Baseball's not boring to me.
Baseball is not boring.
It's not boring on a podcast, and it's damn sure not boring on the radio. And either way, it's streaming on the Odyssey app. It's Radio B.I.B. on WEEI.
We're back. Yeah, we're back. Baseball Isn't Boring is back. And is this well timed? Yes, it is Joe Braverman. Joe Braverman, good to hear you.
It is so good to hear from you, Bradfoe. It is so good to have you back in the fold.
Oh, my goodness. It is. We took some time off so I could travel the globe, and now I am back, and I am back with Baseball Isn't Boring on the radio. You may know us from Educational Films as the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, at BB Isn't Boring. And also, this week, all the reporting that has been done from a hotel lobby in Dallas. And to top things off, it is just a perfectly timed show. And to top things off, Joe Weil is here as well. Joe Weil. Oh, my goodness, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. How are you doing? And how's that voice doing?
I'm powering through. It's been a long week. It's been a long day. It's all right. I sound like, I've smoked like 5 packs of cigarettes today. So it's a lot of people like that. But it's one of these things, Joe, where I legitimately have been looking forward to the show. I love doing this show anyway. I love doing it during the season. And we'll probably be back doing it again on the weekends in January. But when Ken asks, okay, we're at the winter meetings, can we do the show? I'm like, yeah, but I'm coming back. I came back this morning. Wednesday morning, and I pull into my driveway, and sure enough, there's the Garrett Crochet trade. So, Joe Weil, and I implore everybody to join the fun, 617-779-7937. But Joe Weil, I want to get your guttural reaction when you saw this. There's two elements of it, right? There's the guttural reaction to Garrett Crochet has been traded to the Red Sox. And then there's the guttural reaction to what they gave up. Give me the first, and then give me the second. Go, Joe.
All right, so for the first, when I saw that the Red Sox were acquiring Garrett Crochet, I was pumped. This is the type of move we wanted to see from the Red Sox as long as they didn't give up an absolute haul. And I'll get to that second part of your question.
What a tease.
And I don't think they did. And
I
think they gave up
a lot. Crazy?
I don't think they gave up a lot. It's not that I don't think that they've gave up a lot. Because
wait,
they did.
Wait a second. Which is it? I mean, do we have to come out of the gate? Do I have to say it's your prerogative to be wrong? And like right out of the gate, Joe?
Well, I like this. We can get a little back and forth.
Well,
here.
I mean, like, yeah. you're just contradicting yourself.
Okay,
you're
so here's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, all right. So, do a better job.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right, take two. I liked that the Sox went out and got Garrett Crochet. Seeing his name associated with the Red Sox, the fact that they were getting him got me excited because this team needed a top-of-the-line starter. Yes, he's only done it for one season. Yes, he threw 146 innings last year.
And we're going to get to that, by the way. I don't think people understand. I think the uneducated don't really fully know Garrett Crochet's story, which we'll get to. We'll do the 30 for 30 documentary in radio, or I guess radio form, podcast form, whatever it is. But I don't want to interrupt you, but keep going. But I just want to let everybody know that with Garrett Crochet, it's a complex thing here you're dealing with. Yes, he's very good, but it's a complex thing. Continue.
Yep. Okay. So, and I was so happy about it because, again, you look at how well he struck out batters. Obviously, best strikeout rate among pitchers with 100 innings pitched. First in whiff rate, too, when you look at that as well. And, yes, you only have 1 year under your belt, and we'll talk about it more. So I was pumped that they made this trade. Then I looked at the prospects that they gave away. Kyle Teal, obviously that's the first name that you see, and you say, oh, okay, you have to kind of work through the emotions there of that. And then Braden Montgomery on top of that, too. So that's back-to-back first-round picks that the Sox are now dealing away to get this guy. And then they add on two more prospects, Chase Meidroth and Wikelman Gonzalez. But, Rob, I thought that this was the type of move, the bold move, that they kind of need because they have so many other good prospects. Yes, you have to figure out the catching side of it because now you just have Connor Wong and you know, I know we'll mention this, but I'll just get to it right now. They made a little bit of a minor trade. They got Carlos Narvaez from the Yankees.
Carlos Narvaez, yes. And by the way, for Elmer Rodriguez Cruz, an international bonus pool space, and I think Joe Wild doesn't have a problem with that either because, you know, he doesn't have a problem with it. But I will say this. I just took a quick perusal at the guy at the Elmer Rodriguez Cruz, who they gave up for Carlos Narvaez, who is going to be in the mix to be a backup catcher. I'm not sold that he's going to be the backup catcher, but he's in the mix. Elmer Rodriguez Cruz isn't bad. He's not a bad player. He's a 20-year-old pitcher. Anyway, I don't want to talk about him right now. I want you to continue your thoughts.
So,
go ahead.
So in conclusion, you have to work through, okay, they've given up a sizable amount, but you could have said that about the Chris Sale trade 8 years
ago. Right.
And
okay.
It's different. And it's different. Let me concede that it's different, right? This is like Garrett Crochet is the Chris Sale light because you have 1 year under, you know, of proven all-star experience compared to what Chris Sale was. But at the same time, I think now is the time to make the move, and you do it for a 25-year-old that has a ton of upside, and the upside of being possibly one of the top five pitchers in baseball going into next year.
All right, I'm gonna peel back the onion. You just stated a bunch of the obvious. I'm in a surly mood. You could tell Joe Wild, but that's why I like it. I'm always better when I'm in a surly mood, and I and we're going back and forth because I know that we can go back and forth because you are an expert in this game. You are one of the finest in the business that I've been around about digging deep into this. So I don't want you to give the surface level like what you just told me. Was good for the Red Sox for trading for one of the best pitchers. He's 25. He's got a lot of control, and you don't think he gave up a lot, but good for them, right? I just summarized that perfectly, right? Correct?
Close to it.
All right.
Because
right.
I think they gave up a lot, but I think what they gave up was worth getting somebody like Crochet.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, honestly, they could have given up more than that, and it would have been worth it. Because, all right. So let me take a step back here. Joe, ready? You got step back music?
I'm ready.
No, I'm talking about Joe Braverman. I mean, this
Joe, do we have?
I mean, we got a lot of Joes going on. Braverman, you there?
I'm still here.
All right. You all right? You okay?
I'm fine. I'm good.
All right.
I'm just as happy.
I'm trying to put everyone on their heels here because I want everyone to get fired up. I want everyone to call in. If you're ever going to call in, it's going to be right now. All right. Everyone's tried to talk baseball. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. We're talking baseball. This is the only show where you have the host who flew back from the winter meetings just to be on this show right now. I was in the belly of the beast, and I can tell you this. I can tell you this. This is where I'll start. Is the perception of the Red Sox? It was a lazy take. It was. I know I'll take the slings and the arrows. About it was a lazy take to off after they miss out on Soto and after they miss out on Fried and just being like, I'm done. I'm burning all my Red Sox gear. It's done. It's done. It's done. So when I sat down at 1 o'clock in the morning to write my column. You have to balance this, right? Two things can be true. You can be frustrated, and you should be frustrated, because up until the Garrett Crochet trade, they can say they were uncomfortable. Joe Weil, the thing is and I'll be anxious to get your perspective. If you hear the Craig Breslow clips or read the quotes from the last few days, their talking points were getting exhausting. I don't want to hear how... Yeah, we've asked the fans to be patient for years now, and now it's time to pay off, and we know we have to be uncomfortable. Like, they were using the same talking points over and over and over. The problem was, is that this is where I'll say, all right, I have no problem with any of these people saying about the Red Sox after Max Fried signs with the Yankees that there was no evidence that they were willing to get uncomfortable. They're up until I pulled into my driveway and got the Garrett Crochet news. There was no evidence that they were willing to be uncomfortable. And that was the be-all, end-all when it comes to what this offseason was going to look like. So I'll come back to it. It was a lazy narrative to jump in 2 days into the winter meetings and say, look at same old stuff, same old stuff. As much as we want to do that, we had to wait a little bit. And sure enough, this happened. All right, I'm going to pause right there. Joe Wild, do you know what I'm saying? Am I wrong about anything?
I completely agree. And Rob, I appreciate you doing this show. Again, you getting in here today after the one, you know, you're writing that column at 1 a.m., five packs of cigarettes today. Like
I coached a high school basketball game a couple of hours ago.
Did they win?
I don't want to talk about it. So the great game of basketball was a real winner. This isn't work. This is easy. I mean, we talk about how we should talk more baseball, right? I talk every single day. Every single day we do the podcast. That part's easy. It's an easy thing to do. And I was down at the winter meetings. It's an easy thing to stand in the lobby and talk baseball, whether it's on for the podcast or just talking. This is easy. So I was looking forward to this. So I appreciate your appreciation. But really, like, this is the time where everything leads up to this. Enough for Drake May. Enough for Bill Belichick going to UNC. Enough of this. This is the biggest news in a long, long time in Boston. You mentioned the Chris Sale deal, Joe Weil, right?
Yes.
The Chris Sale deal. And so I want to go, when we're going to talk about how I view the return of this, I do want to reference that Chris Sale deal. Now, understand this. When we talked about Crochet getting potentially dealt to the Red Sox, you would say, this can't be the same haul as Chris Sale. Chris Sale, I think, had made 4 or 5 All-Star games when he was traded. Like, he was established. Garrett Crochet, up until this year, had pitched an entirety in his professional time as a baseball player, 200 total innings. 200 total innings. I mean, I'm talking about college and professional minor leagues and with the White Sox. 200 total innings. So that isn't Chris Sale. You aren't talking about Chris Sale. You aren't talking about how established Chris Sale was. Now, all of that said, I said, well, you aren't going to get the same haul because you don't have the experience and everything else. But I would make the case that this trade, what the Red Sox gave up, was potentially more than what the Red Sox gave up for Chris Sale.
That's interesting. That's interesting to me, Bradfo, because you don't, because none of these guys, at least right now, they don't have the prospect status that a Yoan Moncada had at the time.
Well, okay, so that's fair. So Yoan Moncada, I believe he might have been the top ranked. He would have been Roman Anthony, right?
Yeah, yes.
He's Roman Anthony. Okay, let's start there. So Michael Kopech was probably around where, where Kyle Teal was. Around there, I think. So, yeah, you're right. But here's where it changes for me. I think it's comparable. But when you look at Mydroth and when you look at Weichelman, I'm saying his name correctly, right? You said it right. I trust you explicitly.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
When you look at them, I think all four of these guys are going to be in the major league. You couldn't say that in the Chris Sale trade. It was Moncada and Kopech and a Basabi and another guy. Like, those guys weren't making the major leagues. So, yeah, Moncada was the be-all, end-all. But still, if we look at it right now, I think that people... someone asked me from Chicago, what do you think of these? I said, I think they got... The White Sox get two players who are going to be all-stars. I think they, who knows, but they could potentially be all-stars. And then, you know this, Joe. I mean, you know this from being around the Myers. You know this from all the scuttlebutt. Chase Mydroth was like the guy everyone said, oh, no, you talk about the big forward, but I'm going to tell you, Chase Mydroth is the guy. Oh, he does so many things well. You couldn't get a bad word about Chase Mydroth if you asked a million people in minor league and major league baseball. He was a value in this trade. And then Weichelman Gonzalez was a guy who was their best pitching prospect, really, right? I mean, so that's what my point is. I think all four of these guys are going to make the major leagues. And I think a big part of this was, even more than the Chris Sale trade, the leverage that the White Sox had in this trade was insane. It was insane. So when I saw the deal, I'm like, that's a lot. It's a lot, but I'll come back to it. I think this is where we landed in the same place, Joe. It's okay. You had to do this because you know what? It comes back to what we were yelling and screaming about all this time and what Craig Breslow kept uttering, and whether or not you believed him or not, he kept uttering it. And that's discomfort, uncomfortable. I wrote this today. Hey, listen, you know, it's all well and good to say you're uncomfortable, but I don't know if they knew the level of pain it was going to take, because it was a lot more painful for Soto than they probably thought. It was a lot more painful for Max Fried than they probably thought. It's probably a lot more painful for these other free agents than they probably thought. They were going into this. They had to accept that this was going to be painful. And that was always the problem, whether it was Chaim Bloom's era or tenure or whether it was Craig Breslow so far. We had no evidence that they were willing to get uncomfortable in free agency and in these sort of trades. What do you disagree about?
No, I think you hit it right on the head, right? And I think the part about that I think is important for everybody to understand is, right, we as the people that follow this team every day, every season, right, it was that want, especially over these last couple of years, to finally do something bold. And that was the problem over these last couple off seasons. They rarely did something that was bold, especially as bold as this. And I, as you're talking about all the prospects, I think where we were disagreeing initially, Rob, in comparing the hauls from each trade, like the Chris Sale trade and this one, maybe the top end talent, at least at the time, seemed higher than what this is.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, we go back. When you have the top prospect in baseball, the top two prospects in baseball, Moncada is like it's Roman Anthony,
right?
So
right.
Yeah, so we can't ignore that. You're right.
Yeah, and so I guess when I was viewing both of them, I thought, relative to one another, they made more sense. Although now I'm thinking about it a little bit more, right? I think this one, right, they did give up a lot. But I just think it fit the team so well, and especially where they're at and trying to get to, the fact that this guy is 25. And Rob, I also think of it in the context, and I don't know if this was on your mind at the time, but I also think of it in the context of what just happened the day before with the Yankees signing Max Fried to an 8-year deal. Because I thought he was a perfect fit in a lot of ways for this team. Left-handed pitcher, best ERA over the last 5 years. He was a guy that had some pedigree to him and in the track record. But you look at Crochet, and again, the strikeout stuff and what he was in the first half of last year, and maybe the potential that's still to come for somebody that young and that hasn't pitched all that much. I like it, and I almost like a little bit more compared to somebody like Max Fried, who's now on the other side of 30, and who knows what the next, you know, 8 years look like in a Yankee uniform for him. And instead, you have this younger guy that's a little bit more unknown, but at the same time, I like that he has the stuff that he does. The metrics for him are off the charts, and you're putting him within this pitching infrastructure with Craig Breslow that I know we all looked at the rotation last year and say, okay, there's still more that needs to be added to it. But Tanner Houck had his best year. You got a full season out of Cutter Crawford. I am excited to finally see what happens with Lucas Giolito within this pitching infrastructure. So I feel like sky's the limit. That's me being optimistic, obviously. He needs to stay healthy. He's obviously already had Tommy John surgery in his career, all that. But this was the type of move that I think so many people wanted to see. They finally get out of their comfort zone. And Rob, they still have so much room to spend too. And I think that that's such an important part of it, right? He's going to be cheap unless they hammer out an extension for him and the numbers start to kind of, you know.
Well, they got to hammer out.
They have to, especially right now.
This is non-negotiable.
Yes.
I mean, it's negotiable for them, but it's non-negotiable in terms of how we judge this trade. And we'll talk about it. I want everybody to weigh in. This is your chance, 617-779-7937. You can ask me what I ate in Dallas. You can ask Joe what he's doing, what he's been up to, how married life is. And you can also ask us about the Garrett Crochet trade. I mean, it's such a good time to do this show. But we will talk about the other side of this, of like what is the long-term play when it comes to Garrett Crochet with this rotation. Is this better than Max Fried? Is this better than Corbin Burns? Does this placate everybody? If we're going to power rank the things that you want to happen, is this at the top of the list, or would you have rather have something else happen? Would you have rather have one of these other free agents? Would you have rather have traded for a Seattle starter, which maybe, who knows, maybe they will as well? And then the other part about this, Joe, is what they're going to do now, what they should do now, and how they can keep this ball rolling and not just say, here's Garrett Crochet, because there is a very real path here, it seems like, if they are able to continue this idea of getting uncomfortable financially or with prospects, there is a very real path where you can have a team where, you know, 24 hours ago, everyone's like, oh my goodness, you know, we're going to settle for Aroldis Chapman and whatever. But there's a very real path to this team being, who the heck how many guys can we fit on the media guide cover? There's too many guys. There's too many. That there is a very real path. All right, 617-779-7937. Joe Braverman's treading down. He's got a big Red Sox trade that is not Garrett Crochet.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, let's first tell you about the big trade of the day, which was Garrett Crochet. The Red Sox finally make that big move and acquire White Sox starter Garrett Crochet. First reported by Julian McWilliams of the Boston Globe. The Sox will send Chicago 4 prospects, including catcher Kyle Teal, who was the 4th-ranked prospect for the Sox and 25th overall in the major leagues. Outfielder Braden Montgomery, who was the recent first-round pick in this past draft. He's the number 54 prospect. Infielder Chase Meidroth and pitcher Wykelmyn Gonzalez. They also made a minor trade with the Yankees. They acquired catcher Carlos Narvaez from the Yankees in exchange for minor leaguer Elmer Rodriguez Cruz and international bonus pool space. To make room on the 40-man roster, the Sox have designated Enmanuel Valdez for assignment. The other big news of the day, according to Adam Schefter, it is now final. Bill Belichick will be the new head coach at the University of North Carolina. The deal is for 3 years and for $30 million. Staying in football, the Patriots were back at practice as they keep prepping for their matchup this Sunday against the Cardinals in Arizona. Javon Baker and Marcus Jones were DNPs. Baker has a concussion while Jones is dealing with an illness. Rookie offensive lineman Caden Wallace was limited, and Jerron Mayo said that Wallace could return from injured reserve as soon as this weekend. The Celtics finally get back to action tomorrow against the Pistons. First injury report update. Jason Tatum is questionable, along with Jordan Walsh and Jaden Springer. Sam Hauser is doubtful with a right adductor strain. And the Bruins will continue their road trip tomorrow in Seattle against the Kraken, following last night's 8-1 blowout loss to the Winnipeg Jets. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
You know, I suppose the innings limit, that posed a lot of questions prior to me even making the transition. And I'm sure a lot of GMs would have even scoffed at the idea of me, you know, going through the undertaking of a full season as a starter, having thrown, I don't know, in college I threw like a total of 130 innings, and in the major leagues I had thrown a total of like 80 innings. So it's like you add that together and it's 210 innings in my past 6 years. That's what Logan Webb's going to do this year. It's
right.
Like that's kind of, You know, it's a big thing to expect of somebody, but you know, he had the faith and the trust in me, so here we are.
Well, there you go, friend of the program, friend of Baseballs and Boring on the Baseballs and Boring podcast, Derek Crochet. I sat down with him at the end of the year, and I thought that was what I was referencing. Joe Weil. Joe Weil joins. I'm Brad Froh. This is also a Baseballs and Boring show. We're on with you until 10 o'clock. 617-779-7937 to talk about the great game of baseball. Joe Braverman behind the glass, but Joe Weil. That's what I was trying to reference, what he said, which was that the amount of innings that this guy had thrown was minuscule. I mean, going back to college, and this was the leap of faith that the White Sox took with Chris Getz and the entire organization, and it paid off for them. But, you know, it also made them draw back. I don't think he threw more. Actually, know this. Since July 8th, after July 8th, he never threw more than four innings once. So there's that. But you're willing to sort of just say, oh, that's just part of the development. But yeah, so anyway, that was Garrett Crochet. And Joe Weil, I mean, that's a reminder that this isn't Chris Sale. This is not Chris Sale, right?
It's not Chris Sale, right. And that's, as we were comparing the trades from, you know, the one from 2016 to the one that was done today, they are two different players because of the pedigree that Chris Sale had. Like, you knew when you brought him in, you know, that you were bringing in a guy that had been seen consensus-wise across baseball as a top five starter, I think, between the two leagues at that point. Whereas this guy, as you play in that clip right there, indicated that there's still a lot of unknown as it's related to all of this. But the unknown's exciting, Rob. Like, I can't help but get excited about
listen,
the unknown.
I mean, I'm not downplaying. It's just, it comes in, this sort of thing comes in all shapes and sizes, right?
Yeah.
And to give you an idea what Chris Sale was leading into when the Red Sox acquired him, he had made the All-Star team 5 straight years. He finished 6th in the Cy Young, 5th in the Cy Young, 3rd in the Cy Young, 4th in the Cy Young, 5th in the Cy Young. Like, leading into when he was traded. So, Garrett Crochet, in a good first half, he made the All-Star team, and then they drew back on him, and he had a little bit of bump in the road in August, but then he finished pretty strong, but never pitching more than 4 innings. I don't care about all of that. Like, we're going to look back. I think we're going to look back at this year and say, yeah, well, that's just, you know, that was easing into his excellence, right? So, I have no problem with this. No, this is, if to go back to it, Joe, you know, if we're going to look at power rank, even before the Max Fried thing, even before the Blake Snell thing, even before any Corbin Burns talk, even before all these rumors about the Seattle, if you had the power rank, okay, Red Sox heading into the offseason, what player do you want? And I know Joe Braverman, we had the play Tessie guys. I think we all picked Crochet back when, right? I mean, unless I'm misremembering.
I'll verify for the three guys that aren't here. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did too. So I don't know, Joe Weil, if you concur. Like this was the guy that I think that everybody said, if you had all your druthers, age, performance, upside, you know, all of it. This is the guy you would want.
It's funny you use that phrasing right there, if I had my druthers, because that's what Rick Hahn would say all the time in Chicago. And of course, he's the guy that drafted Garrett Crochet. But I'm with you, Rob. Like, I'm with all the play testing guys too, because of the age part of it. And again, that's what makes among many reasons. But yesterday, looking at things from the Red Sox perspective and not getting Max Fried feels so much different today when you look at the pitcher that they now actually have. And the timetable, the fact that he's 25, instead of on the other side of 30, you now have a guy that could conceivably be entering his prime if he stays healthy. Rob, the big question for me about this too, right? Because the strikeout stuff was so impressive last year, and we hit on some of the numbers in our first segment. But for those that don't know a ton about Garrett Crochet, 209 strikeouts in 146 innings last year led the sport in K per nine. The crazy part about his profile from last year too, Rob, is his walk rate in general. Only 33 walks in 146 innings. So he averaged 2 walks per nine. So he was very, he did a really good job putting it in the zone. Every one of his pitches gets a swing and miss whiff rate at over 30%. He is nasty. But the question is, can he do this consistently as the top of the rotation guy? And Rob, this is a little part of it too. Now he goes from an environment, not to say White Sox or Chicago is in a sports, you know, crazed town. It is. But you go from that environment last year, being on
losing every game.
You lose every game on a team that had the most losses in modern Major League Baseball history, to now being in the pressure cooker of Boston. And on top of that, now being on a team with, I think, even more expectations. That's another part of it that I think is pretty interesting to see how it'll shake out.
Yeah, I don't think that, even though he's the number one starter, and he'll probably start opening day, I mean, who knows, maybe they'll give it to Tanner Houck, maybe whatever, but I don't think it's like, oh my goodness, you have to be the guy, like, you have to be a guy, but you have Garrett Crochet and a bunch of unknowns. There is the element of what they built last year. But they needed more certainty. They need this. We all knew this. That's why they were in on Max Fried. And so, you know, I just look at it this way, is that he is a guy where you gave up a lot, but ultimately, I thought, to be honest with you, the thing that I was surprised with Joe was that you didn't have to give up a major league ready guy. Like, that's, if I'm the White Sox, and you're hearing all these packages, and you're hearing all these teams. Philadelphia was one that we heard. Alec Bohm and Justin Crawford, they turned that down. And Alec Bohm, obviously a major league. Justin Crawford, a top prospect. And you're like, oh, well, you know, they're going to ask for Willie Abreu. They're going to ask for Roman Anthony. They're going to ask for a lot of these other guys. But ultimately, what you got was the main part of this deal were two guys that, yeah, they have a ton of potential. They are viewed in baseball as some of the top prospects, and I'm talking about Teal, and I'm talking about Brandon Montgomery, but they haven't, it's not like these guys have even like succeeded in AAA to a large extent. There is a risk here. So if you're the Red Sox, why not? Why not? And now I want to spin it forward, because we want to get to the call, 617-779-7937. And now it's like, okay, I said there's a path to having a multiple player media day cover or media guide cover with all these sort of acquisitions. And that path is Alex Bregman. That path is Teoscar Hernandez. That path is Nolan Arenado. All right, call me crazy. Why not? Why not?
You're saying all three.
Yes. Why not? Like,
line all three of them up. You say, why not? First one to step up, you're our guy.
So, Rob, and I don't know if you want to get to the call first before we really get into the Bregman part of it. I actually would like to hear the pitch on Bregman from you.
I'll give you the pitch on Bregman. But let's go to Trav and Lowell first. Trav, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Bradfo? I've been listening to you my whole life. Yeah, no, I was wondering what your thoughts were on, I just saw Carrabis is going nuts on Twitter right now about Fernando Tatis Jr., and I don't think that would ever be possible. But what would you think about, like a Vladdy Jr. trade?
Well, yes, Yeah, yes, Trav. I would absolutely, you know, the path that you have, you know, we keep talking, let's get greedy now. Let's get greedy, fellas, right?
Well, now Why does that sound so familiar?
Have we heard that before? Yeah.
Now that they've shown they're willing to get a little uncomfortable, let's get a lot uncomfortable. And Trav, I'm with you. Like, Vlad Guerrero, fine. That's fine. Let's go. I mean, it's because we talk about, listen, when there's smoke, there's fire when it comes to Tristan Casas trade rumors. I'm sorry, there it just is. So, and that's where I put in Arenado. So I had mentioned Bregman. I had mentioned Teoscar Hernandez. I had mentioned Arenado. Did I mention someone else? I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe you had Teoscar. You had Bregman. You had Arenado. And now we're talking Vladdy. And also, I just what the caller was referencing, Rob, I don't know if you saw this, because John Heyman.
He said San Diego
listening on their star players. They mentioned Fernando Tatis Jr.
You don't need Fernando Tatis Jr. Honestly, you need him, fine. But. Like, there is a point where you're like, okay, you were able to protect Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell, and Roman Anthony in this deal. A feat that a lot of people didn't think was going to be possible. But that you were able to protect them. So now you go forth, and if you want to trade for, like, I would rather trade for Vlad Guerrero than I would trade Fernando Tatis, to be honest with you. I don't know if you feel the same way.
But, Rob, so with Vladdy, right, he's only got 1 year left.
All of these are with extensions.
Yeah, okay.
Like, the Crochet thing is, you know, I think that's such an under-talked-about thing after the euphoria of this. There has to be an extension. There has to be. And so, then there will be, I think. But I do, Joe Weil, I do want to come back to what you asked about Bregman. Because, like I said, I was in Dallas. I don't know if you know this. I was in Dallas.
When Bradfo said at the top he was circling the globe, Globe Life Field.
And I did not go over there. I was in a hotel. Joe Weil, have you ever been to the winter meetings?
I did. I went to Nashville in 2015.
Oh, Nashville's the worst. It's the worst.
You didn't like Nashville? Why did you like Nashville?
No, that because it's enormous.
It's huge. It is gigantic.
So you want any winter meetings, you want everything centralized. And Dallas is kind of that way. It was fine. But, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I was in Dallas. I had some meals there. I probably were going to get into, like, the worst decision I ever made in meal-wise was my walk-off meal last night.
Uh-oh.
I'll get to, not good. Not good.
How bad could it have been?
It was just such a bad decision. I was not feeling great. I had an early flight, so I couldn't hang in the hotel lobby, which is what you do. You, like, when the Soto thing goes down the other night, you hang in the hotel lobby to get information from people who are in the hotel lobby. A lot of people are out and about, which you probably saw in Nashville. But I was going to go to eat by myself, and I don't know if anyone cares about this at all.
Well, you might as well keep going. Keep going. You're halfway through the story.
I had to cough. Hold on. I went out, and I'm like, I'm a big seafood guy. So I Google some seafood place, and it was like this. It was a good name. It was like something for crab palace.
I can already tell. I already know where this is going, but keep going.
So it was Crab Palace. It was like 5 minutes from my hotel. I'm like, this is manageable. So I go there. It's kind of in a strip mall, but it has a big neon sign. It looked like it's presentable. I pull up. I look in the window. And now this is about 9 o'clock. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this. There's nobody in the restaurant. Like, there's nobody. There's the workers and nobody else. And yet, so that was my first mistake. Never go to a place that has nobody in it.
Never, never. It's the first mistake.
I mean, and they weren't closing for an hour. So it's like one thing if they're closing, but they weren't closing for it. So I walk in, and then, you know, it was just like the waitstaff just wanted to go home. The cook probably wanted to go home. Long story short, I order a bunch of seafood. About an hour later, because the cook probably wanted to go home and put something in my food, you know, it was like I was doubled over. Not a great way to end the winter meetings.
What did you get? What did you get specifically?
Oh, I got snow crab leg, right? But it comes in that plastic bag, so it's a lot of work, right? They put like the sausage and the corn and everything in the plastic bag, and you got to tear open the bag. Like, it was, you know what? It was the saddest image that I've had, certainly in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, since I went to the water park by myself and went around the Lazy River by myself.
How many years ago was that?
This is an epic. This is a legendary story. But anyway, I'll get to that later. The like trials and tribulations in the Dallas Fort Worth area. But I do want to come back to the Bregman thing, because you know when I wrote that on after the Soto thing happened, you know I was told that you know hey, they really really like Bregman. I wasn't. It kind of caught me off guard a little bit. I sort of discounted Bregman, right? Probably because I hadn't looked too much into him. You know, he had a down year. He had bone chips in his elbow. But I think that the more that I've thought about him, the more I thought this is a must-have for the Red Sox. And just hear me out. It's not only because of the player. It's not only because of the position. But they need, for lack of a better term, a semblance of an adult in the room. Right? They have a lot of well-meaning 20-somethings. But and Rob Refsnyder's in his 30s, I get it, but he's a part-time player. You talk to anyone with Houston, and they say, if you want the epitome of a captain, Alex Bregman is a guy. In other words, he's what Justin Turner was, except he's not a 38-year-old DH. Like, so that element of it, I think, is so important for this team, especially now that they've marked their territory and said, we are going to try to win the division. You need that player. And Joe, that player, that type of human being, is not easy to get, where he's a good player, he's a useful player, he's a player that fits what you want to do performance-wise, and he's actually going to be the type of voice in that clubhouse which you desperately need. That's my pitch for Alex Bregman.
So a couple things off of that, and I hear that, and I agree with you in the sense of the leadership part of it. And you talk about Rob Refsnyder. Everybody knows he's a great guy in that clubhouse, and there's value in having players like him. But having somebody that is playing day to day, their voice carries a little bit more credence. And especially you look at Alex Bregman, and I give him this, Rob, right? Because he's had a great career. He's won 2 World Series in his career. He's been an all-star a couple times. He's been top 5 in the MVP a couple times as well. But you talk about the position part of it, and this is where I don't know if I see the fit, because
why?
Okay, so because he's okay. So let's so he plays third base, obviously, right?
And not anymore.
And so you're saying he plays second?
He's playing second. Did you hear Alex Cora? That was one of the most telling things of the entire winter meetings, Joe. Not to cut you off, but you know, how it works in the winter meetings is every manager talks for a half hour, right? They have their slots, and Alex Cora met with the media for a half hour. And when asked about Alex Bregman, he waxed poetic about 5 minutes about him, which, Joe, you know this. This doesn't happen with free agents. You don't. I mean, they had already signed Aroldis Chapman. He couldn't even talk about him.
So
he was like, talking about how he could play second base and everything else. And most of everything Alex Cora does, certainly in the media, is calculated. And I thought that was totally calculated. And so that was so telling for me. And it also, him talking about him playing second base. So continue. Go up. Wait. I'm going to let you finish your thought. We're going
to
take a quick
break. Yeah. So to finish the thought here.
Yeah.
So the second base part of it, I was just saying, right, he's played third and Devers is there. And I know people have talked about moving Devers to first base. I hate that idea. I'm just going to state that on the record. I hate it. The second base part of it, Vaughn Grissom, obviously, if they don't get somebody like Bregman or Bregman himself, I would have to guess, and Rob, you can disagree with me on this, that he would get a second look at second base to like start the year. But you also have Christian Campbell right there ready to go. And so to me, none of those guys are proven. They don't fill that experience quota that you're talking about that I do think is important. But the numbers Bregman's looking for, 6 years, $200 million, is like, I know that people around the industry, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, but that's what I've seen, that they expect the ultimate deal to get to. I don't know if that's the best allocation of resources. And I don't subscribe to that all the time, because like I wanted them to go after Fried and pay the money that would have taken to get him. But Bregman had a down year in terms of and
yeah, but he had I'm not going to make excuse for it, but he had bone chips. But we're going to take a quick break. We'll talk more Bregman on the other side. We'll also talk about, you know, these other the past. We have Teoscar Hernandez that we have to talk about. Where the Red Sox go from here. I mean, it's just a great time to talk about this. It just is absolutely a great time. 617-779-7937. Be back after this.
He should be okay. Yeah, we actually had that conversation in 17 when I was with the Astros. We made some adjustments at third base, kind of like where he was playing. He was feeling uncomfortable at the end. It paid off for him, right? He's a Gold Glove defender at third. But I always envisioned him like playing in the middle of the diamond. And those were conversations in 17, so he can adjust. And he has the baseball IQ to do that. People might think the double play might be an issue. I don't believe so, but I think he can do whatever.
Well, there you go. That's what we were talking about. Alex Cora meeting with the media the other day when asked about Alex Bregman, and he didn't shy away. And Joe Weil, I'm Rob Bradford. And Joe, this just doesn't happen. When he's talking about this, and talking about Bregman, and that was like this one of a couple different answers that he had about Bregman, it just doesn't happen that way. Usually you can't talk about free agents or whatever it is. But he did talk about him. And I do want to come back to what you said about Bregman and how the allocation of money, maybe can use it other places. I understand that. I get that. I just think that, so when we talk about skill set, when we talk about what the guy delivers and the wins above replacement when it comes to that, and what I'm talking about is presence on the team, the wins above replacement for that, or as our friend Jonathan Papelbon would say, the bar. Did you see that? The new metric that he had, Jonathan Papelbon?
Yes,
balls above replacement.
Yes.
But that thing is, that's where it separates it for me. Because if you don't get Alex Bregman, that skill set, that dynamic is something that it's so hard to find, because it's not like you can, it's hard to trade for, it's hard to sign. There's just not a lot of guys out there who give that presence, which everybody said he is. So that's what I'm valuing just as much as the player who I do feel took a turn because his elbow was so bad because of the bone chips. I mean, they almost moved him to first base. So, yeah. So, anyway, that's my take on Bregman.
No, and I understand that, Robin. I think the part of it that I am looking to your pitch about him, there are actually two things. In listening to your pitch that I'm trying to absorb about the possibility of bringing Bregman in, one is that experience part of it. Now, I do think there could be other guys that you could bring in that could provide. Well, I mean, it's like Joe Braverman and I were actually just talking about this off air. Like a Teoscar Hernandez, if you got him into the fold, right? And he, last year he goes out, wins a World Series. Beloved teammate. And has done it at a couple different stops.
Can I just say this?
Yes.
I love Teoscar Hernandez. I think that he's like you said, a great teammate, a great guy. I've talked to him a few different times. Different personality, though. This is the Bregman thing is the alpha in the clubhouse. Teoscar Hernandez isn't an alpha in the clubhouse. Anyway, continue.
And I, the part of it, Rob, that I do think is interesting, and it's something that needs to be improved upon for next year. Because you and I, throughout now talking for almost an hour, we've talked about the pitching staff, and we've kind of hit on the offensive part of it too, but the infield defense, it really has to improve. It can't continue to be this bad for this team to be a playoff contender next year. It has to be better, and I do think Alex Bregman would help that cause. Again, I just think it's one of these situations where I wish he was hitting free agency at an earlier time, because I do think just being 31 at this juncture and thinking about, okay, 6 years, $200 million, if it's somewhere around that range, when you do have internal candidates to fill the void. And I think that's just what's different about the other needs that the Red Sox have, that they could go after.
Well, you don't have Emmanuel Valdez anymore. I know that you were counting on him. Because people missed it. He was DFA'd.
At one point, I had hope, sort of. but not Bregman.
There were stories written. There were stories written. Yeah.
Not Bregman Hope. But anyway, but Rob, the point I wanted to hit on is this team still has holes, right? Right-handed bat, bullpen help, maybe another starter. You know, not maybe. I think they need another starter. And you look at where Bregman would play, right? Second base. They're not maybe surefire major league options yet, but high upside guys in Vaughn Grissom and Christian Campbell to fill that spot at second base.
All right, let me give this to you, and we got to take a break. But second base now, but you're moving Devers off third eventually. Finally, at some point, they're going to rip the Band-Aid off, right?
I think so, yeah.
And then you move Bregman over. And boom, 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 there you go. And I also want to, after the break, I do want to get into other, we mentioned Teoscar Hernandez. Nolan Arenado's name is out there. The Red Sox are one of six teams that he would accept a trade to. So, and then, you know, we haven't even talked about Roky Sasaki. There's so much to talk about. I love it. And then ultimately in the next hour, at some point, I will recount or recap or revisit my trip to Six Flags where I went to the water park.
I can't wait.
Dallas, I know. All right, 617-779-7937. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. Be back after this.